The high price of prescription drugs led the Oregon legislature a couple of years ago to create a new program, a prescription drug price transparency program, within the Oregon DCBS, the Department of Consumer and Business Services. The program recently put out a report on results and recommendations, and among the results are individual stories of Oregonians who are skipping doses or entire prescriptions because of how much their drugs cost. Let's get into the numbers and their stories. Cassandra Soucy is the program coordinator for the Prescription Drug Price Transparency Program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about what it took to get this program going, because the report shows that it's unique, so it's not like you could really borrow a plan from another state.
Correct. Yeah, so the Prescription Drug Price Transparency Act was passed in 2018, and it directed the Department of Consumer and Business Services to establish a transparency program to accept reports and disclose certain information from prescription drug manufacturers, health insurers, and consumers on drug prices. Right now, our state and a handful of other states have programs. The one most similar to us is California, and we both kind of were implementing at the same time within the last year or so, accepting these reports.
Were there some growing pains just trying to get things up to speed and making sure that, for example, when you contacted the drug companies, they knew who you were?
We did do significant outreach in March of last year, before March of last year, where we sent out letters to over 900 of the entities that are registered as a manufacturer in the state of Oregon. And that's a more comprehensive list, but we wanted to be pretty expansive in our education and outreach efforts to the manufacturers. And then this is also the first time that manufacturers have had to be regulated and to report to state programs. And so we really wanted to make sure our outreach and education efforts were very comprehensive with letters. We did a webinar for manufacturers to call in and learn more about the program and the statute and the regulations. So a lot of effort went into kind of that education initially.
Now, I noticed that not all prescription drugs are required to be reported. What are some of the things that put a drug into the category of needing to report?
Yeah, so we have two criteria for manufacturers to report to our program. The first is for new high-cost drugs that come to market, and that threshold is if the drug costs $670 or more for a course of treatment or a 30-day supply. So these are going to be the new high-cost drugs that come to market, and the $670 is a federal threshold that we used for that. And then the second one is our annual price increase reports, which are triggered when a drug costs over $100 a month and also has had a net price increase of 10% or more. So it's kind of a two-factor reporting threshold for the annual price increase.
All right. So it's got to be at least $100 a month and have gone 10% or more higher? Or is that an
Correct.
Either or?
It's both.
It's both. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so as we get into the findings of what comes up in this report, it's called Prescription Drug Price Transparency Results and Recommendations 2019, pretty straightforward. But Americans pay five times what the rest of the world pays. Flesh out the math in that.
Yeah, so what we did was part of one of the data elements required in our report to us is the top five or top 10 prices that the drug is priced at in other countries. And so we received a variety of data about where those drugs hit in other countries. And what we found was that there was quite a significant disparity between how the drug is priced in other countries and how the drug is priced in the United States. And collectively, that came to about five times more when we aggregated all that information for the drugs that were reported to our program. So this is not all drugs. This is just the drugs that were reported to our program that we saw this.
All right, but given the criteria, it's going to be fairly expensive drugs already that are reported to the program, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, but then five times that is what we're paying versus what the average of what the rest of the world pays?
Yeah. So, for example, we've we highlighted some categories. So for cancer drugs, the median U.S. price that was reported to us was around $16,000, and the highest non-U.S. price was around $13,000. We see some more disparities when we look at antidepressants, where the median U.S. price was around $1,000. And then the range of prices in other countries is from $1 to $470. So these are kind of just some of the examples that highlight the fact that we in the United States are paying more for our prescription drugs.
Which is one of the reasons the program exists. We're talking to Cassandra Soucy, the program coordinator for Oregon's Prescription Drug Price Transparency Program in the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Questions, comments from you are welcome on the Jefferson Exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So in the report, there's the findings of basically five times what the rest of the world pays for the high-cost drugs. The given reasons are listed right after that. And what are those? I mean, why do the pharmaceutical companies say their costs are so high or say that they need to charge this much?
Yeah, so there were a variety of reasons that the manufacturers provided. We kind of bucketed them into three categories. One is increased costs, so operating expenses, the cost of materials, the amounts paid in rebates. The second one is market and economic factors. So these are obligations to shareholders, lack of competition, increases in patient populations, and pricing among competitors. The third main factor is research and development factors. So investing in or recouping development costs, new or expiring patents, and then also any of the costs that are associated with the FDA requirements. And that's what we heard from the manufacturers when they responded about the reasons why the price of a drug was increased.
That second bucket, if I can explore it a little further, I mean, things like obligations to shareholders, like to make sure that the people who own the company, own stock in the company, are making lots of money. But then the issue of competition as well, it sounded like where they see that they pretty much have a field to themselves, they think it's okay to raise the prices?
You know, we didn't really get more out of kind of a more descriptive response about the reasons why pricing among competitors caused them to increase the price of their drug. And so we're hoping as we move forward in the program that we can get more detailed responses from the manufacturers so that we can provide information to the public and ourselves further understand the pricing of prescription drugs.
Now, Cassie, how do people respond to the high costs? I mean, what kind of behavior are you hearing about in the state of Oregon from people who have to take the drugs that cost this much?
Yeah, so we have our consumer notifications, and a lot of folks that have reported to us and a lot of the stories that we received, there were kind of a variety of responses that we heard. We heard of folks who were rationing their drugs or continuing to work and not retire because of the cost of prescription drugs, either for themselves or for their family members. There are other folks who just recognize that the cost of their drugs has gone up, even if they can handle that cost. But we did have some pretty sad stories that were submitted to us, and it just highlights the fact that this is an issue that is impacting Oregonians across the state, and that as our program continues, we hope to continue to kind of unravel what drug pricing is and how we can better help Oregonians.
And these are listed in the report as stories from Oregonians. So these are people who volunteered their stories to you, contacted you because they wanted to know more about the program. How did you make contact?
Yeah, so we kind of had a couple different approaches. So for our consumer notices, so any consumer can provide us a notification if they've experienced a price increase of a prescription drug. We've got it availability online through email or by phone. But we submitted over 40,000 information cards to over 500 pharmacies in Oregon. We wanted to make sure that we were providing education at the kind of the point of sale where people are going to first experience a price increase or hear about the cost of their drug going up is going to be at the pharmacy counter. And so we've done significant outreach there and are going to continue to do that type of outreach to meet consumers where they do hear that, so they know that they can contact us. Another component of this is we do accept kind of just stories in general, knowing that Oregonians probably are already handling or living with high prescription drug costs that haven't necessarily gone up but are impacting their lives. And so we do provide a way for Oregonians to submit their stories or their questions to the department, because we want to have an avenue to hear their story and to also hear what questions Oregonians have about prescription drugs.
There are other ways you have of tracking the response that people are making to high drug prices. There are some charts in the report on Google searches of what?
So these were historical Google searches of using like the phrases insulin, high cost, kind of some of these phrases, and looking at historically where they have spiked over time. And so what those charts illustrate is that within recent years, there has been this interest in the high cost of drugs like insulin. There are other types of drugs that also are higher cost. So there, it's kind of illustrating that there has been a peak in the interest of high cost drugs, or has been impacting folks more so than in other years.
And specific to insulin, what is the cost of that in Oregon right now generally, and what's the trend been?
You know, I don't have a number in front of me to be accurate, but I believe it's a couple $100 for a vial of insulin. And there are different types of insulin that folks can use depending on their insulin needs as they go about their lives, which depends on really like their exercise levels and their diet. And there's a whole host of reasons why you need to take insulin. But we did hear from a lot of consumers that insulin in particular, that was a category of consumer stories that we heard a lot from people who were wondering how they were going to pay for their insulin. Family members who were worrying about their children turning 26 and then how they're going to afford it. So we do hear that insulin is a major issue for Oregonians throughout the state.
Oh, the turning 26 part, I'd forgotten about. This is where you're no longer able to be on your parents' health insurance under the reformations of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Right.
Our guest on the Jefferson Exchange is Cassandra Soucy, the program coordinator for the Prescription Drug Price Transparency Program, created by the Oregon Legislature in 2018, recently out with its first big report, Prescription Drug Price Transparency Results and Recommendations 2019. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Maybe you have a story to tell us about prescription drugs and what they cost for you and what's been happening to that. You can also ask some questions of Cassie as well. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. That's jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Kristen in Dorena. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, so I have a question about if there's any attention being drawn to generic medications. My understanding is that after a medication is on the market, after a certain amount of years, it goes generic, and then the price becomes something that's more reasonable. And I think I've heard that some medications, they're able to change something about their formulary or a small change that's pretty insignificant so that they don't go generic and the prices stay high. And I'm on a medication that I started in 2006, and it just has, you know, 2020, it just continues to grow more expensive, and it's a specialty medication, and I just see, it seems like that is something that should be illegal.
And there's no generic for it at this point, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not generic, and it's still like upwards of thousands of dollars. It's something that's hard on my employer's insurance policy because it's, but I know other employees too who are on specialty medications. The prices just never equalize or come down to earth. They just continue to escalate because the manufacturer keeps doing a small change or a small tweak so that they something that it renews, I guess, the patent period or something like that. And I just was wondering, I mean, I'm still kind of learning about this too, but I was wondering about any attention brought to that, because that seems like something that shouldn't be allowed.
All right. Good set of questions. Thanks for those, Kristen.
Sure.
All right. This is the Jefferson Exchange. Go ahead. And what can you tell us about these, Cassandra?
Yeah. Thanks, Kristen, for those questions. So generics typically come to market after a 20-year patent period that the brand has kind of their own ownership over the formulation of that drug. And then after 20 years, generic manufacturers can make those similar drugs. So patents play a huge role in that. And what we've seen in kind of some of the recent years is that some of these brand name drugs, drug manufacturers will create what's called a patent thicket, and where they'll surround their drug with more and more patents, which delays the introduction of a generic drug. And I will say that we do receive reports from both brand and generic drugs. So if they hit those thresholds, we should receive we are required to receive a report on those drugs. But there's a variety of kind of tactics and ways that brand manufacturers can delay a generic coming to market.
And is it the kind of thing that Kristen was talking about, where they just make a slight tweak to the recipe, basically, and be able to say, no, it's not that drug, it's this drug now?
It can be a variety of ways. That certainly could be one of the reasons why they get a new patent. But there are different types of tactics that they can use to delay a generic coming to market.
Before we get to the recommendations in the report, were there things in this first bit of time with the Prescription Drug Price Transparency Program in existence that were particular surprises to you or anybody else on the staff?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest surprises was really how much we're paying versus other countries that are paying. So another example of this is cardiovascular medications, where though the median price of cardiovascular drugs, so blood pressure drugs, heart medicines, were reported to the program as around $580 was the median price, while the majority in other countries ranged from $160 to $5. So I think we were just kind of, when we saw the difference between the two. In addition, we received reports from our health insurers about the most costly drugs to the health insurers, and we paired that information with data from our colleagues at the Oregon Health Authority. And so, for example, there's a biologic drug called Humira. It's used for psoriasis and certain forms of arthritis, and around 6,000 Oregonians use this drug, and it costs health insurers approximately $220 million. So seeing those numbers paired with the list that we got from our insurers were also pretty surprising as well. We know Humira is an expensive drug, but to really see the cost of that has been really eye-opening. And then in addition, just the stories that we've received from Oregonians, like Kristen's story, like the others that we received through our public hearings, were really important and impactful for us.
The cardiovascular drugs, just to make sure we're comparing apples to apples, that we're talking the 580 for Oregon would represent like a 30-day supply?
580 for the United States. It would be either for a course of treatment or a 30-day supply, and that would depend on the drug reported. But that was the median reported to us.
Okay, the median at 580, and then the rest of the world's $5 to $160 for the same unit, basically. Wow. All right. So you have recommendations within the report on prescription drug price transparency for 2019. One of them is to provide statutory access to the all-payer, all-claims database. What is that?
So the all-payer, all-claims database is where we received that information about Humira, about the dollar figures and the number of Oregonians that are taking that drug. It is a database that some insurers report into, and it also receives information from Medicaid and Medicare about types of insurance claims that are made throughout the state. And so it's just another tool that we could utilize in our toolbox to help us unravel kind of this story about drug pricing and how it's affecting Oregonians. Right now, we work closely with Oregon Health Authority, but we've recognized that there is probably a great way to continue that partnership and have direct access to that data as we kind of move forward into our future years of this program.
So there are some gaps in what you're able to obtain, it sounds like, in basic information.
There, with the first year of the program, we recognize that there are some areas where we can improve upon, and we can utilize the tools that it do exist throughout the state and kind of build up our data set so we can have a more comprehensive view of what is going on with drug pricing and how that's actually affecting Oregonians. And so that's why that recommendation is there, and we're looking forward to working with our colleagues and moving that forward.
Let me squeeze in a quick call before we have to go. Boris and Eugene, welcome to the exchange.
Hi. Yeah, one of the claims that the drug companies make about why the prices are so high is the research costs for developing the drug. I understand that there's plenty of government money that is available and used to create that research. So why do we have to pay twice for the drugs?
Okay, good question, Boris. Thanks for that. Any knowledge of that, Cassie?
Yeah, that's a great question, Boris. So for research costs, there is significant research that goes into it, and a lot of the government research does happen at like the molecular science level, where identifying the specific cell or target, and then after that, the drug manufacturers work with that basic science research, and they develop a drug that will target either that cell or that enzyme or whatever this basic science has identified. And it is a lengthy and costly process. I think that we still need to do a little bit more research on how that actually does impact the drug pricing, because we do know that these costs are affecting consumers at the end of the day.
All right, Cassandra Soucy, Program Coordinator of the Prescription Drug Price Transparency Program. The report's online. Thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you.